Well, Coach, you know, we've heard for the last few years about how the tight end is going to be a bigger part of the offense.
Yeah.
Why should we believe it's going to be the case?
Yeah, that's right.
It hasn't been.
Well, I just think, you know, we've got a couple guys that have different skill sets at that position. And, you know, we cross-trained Aaron Hansford as a thicker or bigger, faster wide receiver that could also be a flex player, which is close, a little bit closer to the box. And he's had a good freshman year, got injured game four, and had a really good spring, and he's having a really good fall camp. You got Calvin Klein, who's now a whole year in the offense instead of just a summer. And he's made some plays in the red zone and done some really good things. And then Tanner Shorp, started every game really in short yardage last year and really came on, and his best football was at the end of the season. And so that was his first year at the position. So I think with those three guys, they gave us a lot of options. I also think because we're so young at receiver, Tanner and Calvin are both seniors, you know, and Aaron's a sophomore or a second-year player. He's a redshirt freshman. And we have so many young receivers that those guys are going to be able to – the quarterbacks will be able to lean on them in the middle of the field and certain routes that are designed for them. Still, at the same time, you want to get your best 11 on the field, and that's still part of evaluation. We're close to kind of wrapping up evaluation, but we still got a couple more scrimmages tomorrow night and Sunday, and then we'll get together as a staff on Monday, and then we'll kind of move forward with some UCLA stuff.
So if you are going to be playing a traditional tight end, we can look for Calvin or Taylor – to be in that role, and if you're going to look for a guy at H-back flex kind of thing,
yes,
then you're going to look for Hansford.
That's right. And we got two good young prospects, I think, in the future, with Cameron Ory being the attached traditional tight end and McZeal being Hansford's kind of double. He looks almost identical to him, has the same skill set catching the ball. So we got five guys at that spot, which has been really good for competition.
You have five guys that do a lot of different things.
That's right.
Complement each other.
That's right. And you kind of got to package it that way. And so that's what we've been figuring out. We've been putting them in all the same positions, making them be attached, flexed, everything, and then kind of grading them and evaluating them, say, okay, he's not good at this, but he's really good at that. And now we got a good handle on it. Well, like I said, we got two scrimmages in the next 72 hours, and then we're ready to go.
I know you don't make that call, but do you have a sense that when the 11 best guys are on the field that one of them's a tight end?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we've got – several different guys, and they can all catch. And they can all catch different types of routes, which I think are cool. So you'll probably see those first three, Hansford, Shorp, and Klein, play in the first game and rotate as they go through, depending on the packages.
So has the recruitment of tight ends changed in your time here, or are you recruiting a little bit more looking for a tight end than before? I know you've gone through different offensive coordinators. So has that changed?
Yeah. I'll tell you what's changed. Spread football in high school has kind of gotten rid of the tight end. And most of these guys that you recruit are flex players that just play wide receiver and run block on the perimeter, which is not the same as in that box with all those defensive linemen. So you really just have to figure out who's the guy that you want for this offense and who's available that you want, that's got all the things you want. And with Cameron Ory and McZeal, for instance, one had the skill set to be a pass receiver and an inside flex guy, and the other guy was a definite pro-style tight end. And so we liked their character. We liked all the other things besides their ability. And so we recruited those two guys. We're still in a work in progress to see how our offense will fit with those guys. If we see a dynamic attached tight end that we feel like we can get and we want, then we'll adapt our offense to that guy because it's that easy. It's that flexible. It really is.
Special teams-wise, it looks like Rashad Paul's been doing a lot in terms of the return game. Do you foresee him kind of getting some action this year?
Yeah, definitely. He's right now he's the backup. And that's saying a lot as a true freshman, the backup to Christian Kirk as a punt returner. But he's been consistent every day. He's got great stop and start. I'm excited to see him play. Will it be in the first game? Who knows? He's the backup, you know. Something happens to Christian, and he's going in right now. And I feel good about saying that in 10 days because I've seen his body of work. He was a mid-year. He's gotten better. He's made more plays. What you see about these mid-year guys is they're a little bit off. You know, I don't know if it's confidence or just transition period in the mid-year period in the spring. And then they come in the summer and they got more confidence and they lift and they run, they get stronger and faster and they figure out exactly what they're doing. Then they come into fall camp and Jamon Osman, Rashad Paul, Keldrick Carper, these guys are flying around and they know what they're doing now. So he's just a part of that and he's good. He makes you miss. He's hard to tackle in our tackling drills, that's for sure.
How much would you like to use Christian at kick return?
Yeah, you know, I think he's one of the best in the country. I think as a coach, you selfishly, as a special teams coach, you want to use him every time. But I think Travion Williams has gotten a lot better at fielding the ball, making decisions. He's obviously a dynamic weapon running. I think we got a 1A, 1B situation. I think depending on how much both guys are getting used and how they feel. A lot of times they're both over there, and then I go, how you feeling? And one guy might say, hey, I'm gassed, and the other guy says, I'm ready. And so sometimes it's that. That's the kind of relationship that we have. It's not a, hey, you're going in no matter what, because these guys are being used a lot. If you're carrying the ball 20, 25 times, it might be tough for you to go back. If you just carried it 8 times in that series, that last series, Travion might be gassed. So Christian will go. And then I think Keith adds a lot of stability. He had a great summer. So he can be a primary returner and hit it up in there. He returned the ball against UCLA twice. And then we're trying some guys out. You know, I think Clyde, Chris, and a couple other guys will take a look because they got speed.
Overall, what does Christian Kirk mean to your special team, Jim?
Well, just like offense, he's a leader. The difference between 2.5 years ago and now is 2.5 years ago it was, hey, he's a talented player and he works hard and he does his job. Now it's he's a leader. He sits in the front, and if something's going wrong in a drill in special teams, he's not afraid to tell guys what they need to be doing. But also for those 10 guys that are blocking for him, like, it means a lot because they know we got the best guy in the country behind us. I better not commit a penalty, and I better get my block. And so when freshmen who are littered right now on our special team two deeps in the return game, they know, bro, we got the best guy in the country back here. I better get my block. It's that important.
How do you feel like, or let me put it this way, Daniel had kind of an up-and-down year last year.
Yes.
And why would you feel like better about his prospects?
First full season starting.
Okay.
SEC football, major college football, as a specialist, as a quarterback, first full season, you know, it's rare that they're that successful over every game. They go through their ups and downs. Now we know his limitations. We know his strengths. We know him better. He knows himself better. He's been 11 for 14 in scrimmages so far. The field goals he's missed have all been over 51 yards. So what's great about that is we see where he's at. His progress is leaps and bounds confidence-wise. I mean, he steps up to the plate in terms of the ball, getting ready for it, and it's not even a thought anymore. He's not nervous. There's none of that. So I think his full season, he took full advantage of, and we expect for him to make everything, and I think he does too.
What are his limitations? Did he fix the right hash issues and something?
Yeah, both hashes, really. Just, you know, a couple of the first field goals of the year, you know, in the first game of the year, in the second, third game of the year. And then he started and he hit. Of course, he won the Auburn game for us and made 5. So he had ups and downs, but he really didn't. He just missed some longer field goals, and he missed a couple chip shots that hit the upright at AT&T. And also he missed one short against Mississippi State. But in between there, he was pretty strong. And perfection's what we seek. It's not easy, but he's getting there. He's getting there. And I think making that kick at Tennessee in overtime to really tie the game or lose the game. The other one he had to make to win it, but that other one he was going to make to lose it. I think that was a big step in his progress. And then he's just kind of taken off from that. A great summer. He looks great. His leg's faster. He's got more distance on him, probably 56, 57 now. So we're excited about where he's at.
He's not exactly built like Tony Fridge, is he?
No. And yeah, he's a little longer athlete. He used to come across the ball and everything would miss left when we recruited him because he's a huge leg. You make it from 65. And then we kind of tightened up his footwork and his stance, and we tightened up his approach to the ball. And he got very accurate, but he lost some of his distance. And I think what Coach Hockey's been able to do and his staff is he's gotten way more powerful in the weight room, power clean and sprint work. And now what you see is a guy that's very accurate, but now the ball jumps off his foot. And that's kind of what we want. You know, you look at Bertolette, you look at Lambeau, junior seniors, right? Well, here he's coming into his junior year, only having one full-time start. We're expecting great things from him.
So power cleans and enhances?
Oh, yeah. Strength? Oh, there ain't no doubt. It's explosive. Lower leg explosion. There's no doubt about that.
Trapica obviously had a nice year, did a bunch of things really well, and killed the ball inside the 10. But what about his limitation in terms of hang time and distance?
Yeah.
How's he gotten better there?
He's a consummate professional. I mean, he's been to 3 camps. He's worked out every day in the summer. He's constantly working on punting. He loves it. I mean, he's enamored with it. And it shows. He's continued to get stronger every year. He's continued to get more because he pushed Drew Kayser 2 years ago in training camp. I mean, the numbers across the board were tight. And so now he's being pushed by Braden Mann, and it's like looking in the mirror, and I go, exactly, because Braden Mann's very talented as well. But that competition helps anybody, and that helps Shane because they're on it. Last night was their best night, and we're starting to get into getting ready for that first game.
Does he really have something that he does differently that allows him to keep punts to – you know, kill him inside the 10 and none of them get into the touchback, or was he just really crazy lucky last year?
Well, you got to have a little luck. You got to have a little luck. You got to have some gunners that care about it when they're running down there and keeping it in, and Josh Reynolds was one of the best. But, no, he's got it down, and we practice it from – because we know that Daniel's going to be a 55-yard field goal guy. So we know around the you know, 37, that's about it. So we practice 38 left hash, 39 right hash, 40 middle. And every day, if you watch this, we'll go down a script and we'll finish with two of those type of punts. And he's just got a knack for knowing where to put that ball. And we're trying to aim for about the 7. Between the 5 and the 7 is where you want it to land, because most guys will let it go. And now your gunners will play the goal line and keep it in. And for some reason, he's got this thing down. And Braden's trying to mimic it because he's so good at it. It was a huge weapon for us.
Do you have a gunner like Josh?
Yeah, we got some guys. We got some good gunners, I think. You know, you need heady players that can play the ball. And Armani and Donovan and Sky Punt will be running down there. You got Jamon Osbin and Travion Williams. You got some guys. So I think we will continue to do what we do.
How long can you keep Corey? His weight down enough to be a tackle? I mean, what's the conversation like? Because
yeah,
it looks like a tackle out there.
Well, he comes in at 290, and he's 270. So that's about the answer to that in terms of his committed to playing tight end and losing those pounds. Coach Hockey and them are going to get him. They'll get him right. They already have. Just him practicing and getting back in it. He's got some talent. He can bend. He's got good feet. He has some want to in the blocking phase of it. It's just some maturity and some technical stuff. He just needs to work on it. But he's going to be pretty good.
You think his future is at tight end?
I do. I think his future is at tight end. I think it's just hard nowadays because we all look and say, wait, what about the slot receivers? Can he flex out? Can he do this? Because everybody runs spread offense. But he's an old school attached tight end. And those are hard to find, and those are great to have in short yardage, play action pass, and those things.
Can he shoot it from the corner?
Yeah, right? I asked him that in recruiting. I said, so let me ask you, if we offer you, do you want to play basketball or do you want to play football? You know, are you going to wind up just going somewhere to play basketball? And he goes, Coach, I don't even play basketball. I said, really? Because I just assumed, right? He goes, no, football is what I want to do. I want to play in the NFL. And once he told me that, it changed our recruitment. I kind of said, this guy's kind of locked in and is real serious about the game, because that was a question for me.
Yeah, we heard another program told him that if you go to A&M, they're going to make you a tackle.
That's right.
You had to promise him.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of schools recruit him at D-line. Yeah. A lot of schools, a couple schools, including Texas, recruit him as a D-line. They didn't recruit him as a tight end. But then they said we were going to move him to tackle. But what we've seen so far, we're excited about.
I know it's a position, maybe from the outside looking in, gets overlooked a lot, but with Connor having helped for you the past few years and now having to go to a new guy, how nice is it to have Connor around to help the guys?
Oh, it's awesome. And because Connor made it that way, Shane's like, I'm holding behind Connor, so when he leaves, I'm the holder. And so Shane stepped right in. And you really like it to be that type of guy, like Connor, a backup quarterback that can go over there in pre-practice, doesn't have to be in the walkthroughs, and can work with your starting kickers. But Shane's already over there because he's a punter, so it's even better. So he's sitting there with them all day, all summer. He didn't have to worry about missing anything. He's there with them, and he's holding. So they got a nice rapport. Shane does a good job.